Krishna Book, Canto 18, The Rajasuya Sacrifice, Chapter 70, Scene 3. Narada informs Krishna about Yudhishthira's intentions. At that very moment that the messenger of the imprisoned kings was presenting his appeal before Lord Krishna, the great sage Narada also arrived. Because Narada was a great saint, his hair was dazzling like gold. And when Narada entered the assembly house, it appeared that the sun god was personally present in the midst of the assembly. Lord Krishna is the worshipable master of even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. And yet, as soon as Krishna saw that the sage Narada had arrived, Krishna immediately stood up along with his ministers and secretaries to receive the great sage and offer respectful obeisances by bowing his head. The great sage Narada took a comfortable seat, and Lord Krishna worshipped Narada with all paraphernalia as is required for the regular reception of a saintly person. And while Krishna was trying to satisfy Naradaji, Lord Krishna spoke the following words in his sweet and natural voice. My dear great sage among the demigods, I think that now everything is well within the three worlds. You are perfectly eligible to travel everywhere in space, either in the upper, middle, or lower planetary systems of this universe. Fortunately, when we meet you, we can very easily take information from your holiness of all the news of the three worlds. Within this cosmic manifestation of the Supreme Lord, there is nothing concealed from your knowledge. You know everything, and so I wish to question you. Are the Pandavas doing well? And what is the present plan of King Yudhishthira? Will you kindly let me know what they want to do at present? My dear Lord Krishna, you have spoken about the cosmic manifestation created by the Supreme Lord, but I know that you are the all-pervading creator. Your energies are so extensive and inconceivable that even powerful personalities like Lord Brahma, who is Lord of this particular universe, cannot measure your inconceivable power. My dear Lord Krishna, you are present as the Supersoul in everyone's heart by your inconceivable potency, exactly like the fire which is present in everyone, but which no one can see directly. In conditioned life, every living entity is within the jurisdiction of the three modes of material nature, and as such, they are unable to see your presence everywhere with their material eyes. But by your grace, however, I have been able to see many times the actions of your inconceivable potency. And therefore, when you ask me for news of the Pandavas, which is not at all unknown to you, well, I am not surprised at your inquiry. My dear Lord Krishna, by your inconceivable potencies, you create this cosmic manifestation, maintain it, and again dissolve it. It is by dint of your inconceivable potency only that this material world, although a shadow representation of the spiritual world, appears to be factual. No one can understand what you plan to do in the future. Your transcendental position is always inconceivable to everyone. As far as I am concerned, I can simply offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. In the bodily concept of knowledge, everyone is driven by material desires, and thus everyone develops new material bodies one after another in the cycle of birth and death. Being absorbed in such a concept of existence, one does not know how to get out of this encagement of the material body. Out of your causeless mercy, my Lord, you descend to exhibit your different transcendental pastimes, which are illuminating and full of glory. Therefore, I have no alternative but to offer my respectful obeisances unto you. My dear Lord Krishna, you are the Supreme, the Param Brahman, and your pastimes, as an ordinary human, are yet another tactical resource, exactly like a play on the stage, in which the actor plays parts different from one's own identity. In the role of their well-wisher, you have inquired about your cousins, the Pandavas, and therefore I shall let you know about their intentions. Now, please hear me. First of all, may I inform you that King Yudhishthira has all material opulences which are possible to achieve in the highest planetary system, Brahmaloka. Yudhishthira has no material opulence for which to aspire, and yet he wants to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice only to get your association and please you. King Yudhishthira is so opulent that he has attained all the opulences of Brahmaloka, even on this earthly planet. Yudhishthira is fully satisfied and does not need anything more. Yudhishthira is full in everything, but now he wants to worship you in order to achieve your causeless mercy. And so I beg to request you to fulfill Yudhishthira's desires. My dear Lord Krishna, in these great sacrificial performances by King Yudhishthira, there will be an assembly of all demigods and all famous kings of this world. My dear Lord Krishna, you are the Supreme Brahman, the personality of Godhead. One who engages him or herself in your devotional service by the prescribed methods of hearing, chanting, and remembering, certainly becomes purified from the contamination of the modes of material nature. And what to speak of those who have the opportunity to see you and touch you directly. My dear Lord Krishna, you are the symbol of everything auspicious. Your transcendental name and fame have spread all over the universe, including the higher, middle, and lower planetary systems. The transcendental water which washes your lotus feet is known in the higher planetary system as the Mandakini. It is known in the lower planetary system as the Bhogavati, and here on this earthly planetary system, it is known as the Ganges. This sacred transcendental water flows throughout the entire universe, purifying wherever it flows. Thus ends chapter 70, scene 3. Narada informs Krishna about Yudhishthira's intentions. All glories to Krishna book. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. The following are notes on this section. The word Svavilakshana Atmane also indicates that Lord Krishna has his own unique nature and characteristics, and therefore no one is equal to God and no one is greater than God. King Yudhisthira was described as Parameshtya Kama, or desiring Parameshtya. The word Parameshtya means unrivaled supremacy, and it also indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who stands at the very height of all existence. The Acharyas explain that Narada here means to say that since all the great personalities will come, especially to see Lord Krishna, then Krishna should also come to the Rajasuya sacrifice. Srila Sridhar Swami interprets the word Brahma Mayasya to mean Brahma Ghana Murte, or the concentrated form of the Absolute Truth. Sridhar Swami mentions that the word Digvitanam indicates that Lord Krishna's transcendental glories spread throughout the universe like a cooling canopy over the universal directions. In other words, the whole world can find shelter under the cooling shade of the Lord's lotus feet. Thus, the Lord is Bhuvana Mangala, the symbol of everything auspicious for this world. Narada Muni Bhajaya Veena Radhika Ramana Name Nama Amani Udita Hai Vokata Gita Same Amiya Dhara Barishe Ghana Shravana Yugale Giya Bhakata Jana Shagane Nache Boriya Pana Hiya Madhuri Pura Asava Pashi Mataya Jagata Jane Kehova Kande Kehova Nache Kehomate Mane Mane Pancha Vadana Narade Dori Premera Shaganavo Kamalasana Nachiya Bole Bolo Bolo Hari Bolo Sahasranana Paramashuke Hari Hari Boli Gai Nama Prabhave Matila Vishva Namarasa Sabe Pai Shri Krishna Nama Rasane Spuri Puralo Amarasha Shri Rupa Pade Yachaya Iha Bhakati Vinod Das Narada Muni Bhajaya Veena Radhika Ramana Name Nama Amani Udita Hai Bhakata Gita Same Narada Muni
Bajaya Veena Radhika Ramana Name. Narada Muni Bajaya Veena Radhika Ramana Name. Narada Muni Bajaya Veena Radhika Ramana Name.
When the great soul Narada Muni plays his stringed veena, the holy name of Radhika Ramana descends and immediately appears amidst the kirtan of the Lord's devotees. Like a monsoon cloud, the holy name showers pure nectar into the ears of the devotees. Due to great ecstasy, all the devotees enthusiastically dance to their heart's content. All the inhabitants of the universe become maddened upon entering these intoxicating showers of divine sweetness. Some people cry, some dance, and others become fully intoxicated within their minds. Lord Shiva, with his five faces, embraces Narada Muni and repeatedly shouts in ecstasy, while Lord Brahma dances very ecstatically and exclaims, "All of you chant Hari Bol, Hari Bol." In supreme happiness, Ananta Shesha, with his thousand hoods, sings and calls out, "Hari, Hari." By the influence of the transcendental vibration of the holy name of God, the whole universe becomes mad with ecstasy as everyone relishes the mellows of the holy name of God. Thus, the humble servant of the Lord, known as Bhaktivinoda Thakur, says that the holy name of Krishna has fulfilled all of his desires by thus manifesting on everyone's tongue. Bhaktivinoda prays at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Goswami that this chanting of Harinam may always continue in this way.